Good morning. Please join me in our responsive call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, no matter what you may have done or failed to do, God waits to welcome you home. With faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's boundless love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. People of God, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please join in singing the hymn, Mother God, You Gave Me Birth, number 254 in your Crimson Harvard hymnal.
People of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So let us go and share that sign of Christ's peace with one another. You may take your seats. Good morning. My name is Alana Sullivan, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Memorial Church. And it is my pleasure and delight to welcome you to our Sunday service today. Here at the Memorial Church, we like to say that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, no matter how you are joining us, whether it is online or on the radio or here in our sanctuary, you are most welcome here, and we are so grateful for you. Today is Mother's Day and the sixth Sunday of Easter. Our preacher for today is our very own, the Reverend Matthew Ichihashi Potts, plumber professor and Pusey minister. Our worship leaders are Courtney Godwin, Harriet Lindemann, and Elizabeth Probst. Today's first lesson will be read by Meredith Johns, and the second lesson will be read by Dory Hale. The University Choir is led by Edward Jones and accompanied by David Von Baron. Today we will also commemorate the anniversary of a profound spiritual vision received by an unnamed woman, now known as Julian, in Norwich, England, 650 years ago last Monday. We will read a passage of Julian's revelations as one of our readings, anthems inspired by Julian's writings and composed by our composer in residence, Carson Kuhman, will be sung by the choir, and Matt will also say a word about Julian in his sermon. And since she is traditionally associated with hazelnuts, we will also have a hazelnut treat for you at coffee hour. So to learn more about all that is happening in our vibrant community life, please sign up for our weekly newsletter and visit our website. Siblings in Christ, God the divine giver gifts us with life and breath and all that is. In gratitude, let us now offer our gifts in return for the goodness and grace of God in Christ. Our offering goes to support the work of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. The collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you. Good morning. A reading from the 86th chapter of the Revelations of Divine Love to Julian of Norwich. And from the time that all this was revealed, I often yearned to know what our Lord's meaning was. And after 15 years and more later, I was answered in my spiritual understanding, and it was said, "Do you want to know your Lord's meaning in this? Love. Be well aware, love was his meaning. Who showed you this? Love. What did he show you? Love. Why did he show it? For love. Hold fast to this, and you will know and understand more of the same. But you will never understand nor know anything than this for all eternity." So I was taught that love was our Lord's meaning, and I saw most certainly in this and in everything that before God made us, he loved us. And this love has never diminished nor ever shall. And in this love, he has done all his works. And in this love, he has made everything for our benefit. And in this love, our life is everlasting. In our making, we had our beginning, but the love in which he made us was in him from the beginning. And in this love, we have our beginning. And all this shall be seen in God without end, which may Jesus grant us. Amen. Here ends the reading.
A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, beginning at the 15th verse. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. Here ends the lesson.
In the name of God, our Mother, Christ, our Mother, and the Spirit of Truth, which dwells within us. Amen. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. To all of you who are mothers, to you who are celebrating your moms, blessings. It's a special day here at the Memorial Church for a couple of other reasons, too. First, we're going to be doing some baptisms here in a few minutes, which is always great news for the church. Alma, Danielle, and Eric will be baptized here today, and we're excited about that. And it's also a special day here because, as was noted in our greetings, we are celebrating the anniversary of this vision, which came to an unnamed woman who's now known as Julian in East Anglia, England, 650 years ago, last Monday. Julian was she was an anchorite, which means that she was, at some point in her life, they built a little cell into the side of a church called St. Julian's, which is why she's named that, and they walled her in, and she lived there for the rest of her life. She had a little window, and she would receive visitors and give them advice and counsel, and she would pray, and at around 1373, in early May of 1373, she had this profound vision of Jesus, which came to her. Julian, it's a special anniversary just because it's a round number, 650, but she's also my favorite theologian. I'll try to capture some of why in this sermon, while also, you know, it's risky to preach a sermon about theology when you have babies in the pews, so I'm going to not go too deeply into it. But sometimes I wonder if we had spent, you know, the last 600 years listening to Julian rather than to other theologians, I think our church might be in a different place. We know very little about her other than that she was walled into this cell and she had these visions. We know that the 14th century in England, where she lived, was a terrible, terrible time. It was the time of the Black Death. Between a third and a half of people died from plague. This led to massive unrest. There was war, there was insurrection, uprising. There's a small ice age in the beginning of the century, which led to widespread famine. In England, where Julian was from, at the beginning of the 14th century, the average life expectancy was 35 years. At the end, when she was alive, the average life expectancy was 17 years. So she lived in this terrifying time. And she also had this really terrifying vision of the crucified Jesus coming to her in all his suffering, which she describes really graphically and disturbingly. And yet, in spite of all this, in spite of this vision that comes to her, in spite of the terrifying world around her, the meaning of it all, she says, as was read in our first lesson, the meaning of it all, she says, is love. What was the meaning of all this? Love. Who said this to me, sent this to me? Love. Why did they send it? Love. And she undertakes this task to rethink the whole Christian tradition as if, imagine that, as if the meaning of it all were love. She has this great line. Hi, Alma. She's ready. Alma's ready. She has this great line where she says, you know, many of us Christians believe that God is all-powerful and can do all things, or that God is all-knowing and may do all things, but that God is all-loving and is willing to do all things. That's where we stop short. We're perfectly fine thinking about God's power and God's might and God's knowledge, but we imagine how much God might love us, what God might be willing to do to save us, that's when our faith falls short, and that's where she wants to start over. I've described this from the pulpit before, but one of my favorite moments in her vision, Julian is talking to Jesus, and she's just seen how much he has suffered, and she's kind of pleading with him, having seen all his suffering, and she wants to know, like, boy, God the Father must have given you some amazing reward for what you went through. God must have given you something absolutely unimaginable. Can you tell me what is your crown? What is the glory? What is the crown? What is the reward that you received for all you have done? And in one of my favorite moments from the vision, Jesus just looks at her, kind of confused, like he doesn't understand what she's asking. And Jesus says to her, You are my reward. You are my glory. You are my crown. I would do anything for you. You were lost, and so I came to where you are, because that's what love does. Throughout her visions, Julian exposes sort of this stilted backward way in our thinking. And this is a great example. We think of the work of Jesus as a negotiation between the Father and the Son, figuring out what they're going to exchange in order to save these humans, when actually it's just about how much God loves us. And interestingly, this reimagining, Julian saying that it's all about love, that we need to think about how much God loves us rather than try to think about the economics of exchange between a father and a son somewhere, that leads her to buck the traditional genderings of God and of Jesus at various points in her writings. It's appropriate for Mother's Day because Julian refers to God as our mother, and Julius refers to Jesus as our mother. It's not God the Father, it's God our mother. It's not Christ the Son, it's Christ our mother. And she's doing this because she's trying to turn our attention away from these men ordering things and making rules and suffering and sacrificing and obeying each other. And instead, she wants us to reflect upon who these are to us. And in thinking about their unconditional love, their boundless love, she uses a metaphor of motherhood, which some of us, at least, I hope, maybe you can find a useful metaphor. As some of you may know, my mom died last fall, late November last fall. And we made the spring preaching rota, the schedule for preaching, shortly after my mom died. And I decided to preach on Mother's Day. And to be honest, I'm not sure why I did that. I didn't have anything I wanted to say about my mom or about mothers in general. It just felt like something I ought to do in the year after her death. And when I started preparing the sermon, I still didn't know why, to be honest. But as I was looking at our gospel passage for this morning, the passage from John, I thought maybe of a reason why I don't just remember my mom every day, but why it makes sense for me to remember her today from this pulpit on this Mother's Day. The passage from the Gospel of John we have is from what's called the Farewell Discourse. You know, it's the Easter season, and we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection, but this passage actually comes from the Last Supper. It comes from the night before he died, and he spends several chapters in John. You know, John's not a very long gospel, and it's four or five of the chapters he spends on this farewell discourse. He's saying goodbye to them. We'll say more about farewells next week, in our last Sunday of the term, when we bid goodbye to our graduates. But I think it's worth paying attention to the manner of Jesus' farewell here, because Jesus says, those who love me will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments, and if you do, I will abide in you, and God will abide in me, and I in you, and all this stuff that John does all the time. And it sounds like a list of commandments. Jesus describes it as a list of commandments, orders to do, orders to complete and fulfill. If you love me, you will keep them. Like a list of tasks. My kid's mom, Colette, is traveling right now. She's overseas on this Mother's Day, and there's a list of things we need to do. We have to do the laundry and take out the recycling and feed the fish and all these things. This is kind of how Jesus's, you know, farewell address sounds, read in one way. I am going away. Here are the things you need to do when I am gone. Make sure you do them. And that's maybe one way to read it, but when we read it that way, when we interpret it that way, I think we get something essentially wrong about what Jesus is saying in this farewell. Because the command Jesus gives, it's not in this passage, but the last commandment Jesus gives to the disciples, the thing that he wants them to do is not to take out the recycling or feed the fish or any of that stuff. Jesus says, love one another. This is the last thing. This is the thing I need you to do for me. Just love one another. When I am gone, love one another. When my mom was dying, I had all these ideas about how we ought to remember her. What we ought to do with her ashes, where they ought to go, what our remembrance of her would be like. And I talked to her about it, you know, of course. And she didn't really care. She actually said to me, I asked her some of these things, she said, I don't care. She really only wanted one thing. And she said this to me almost every time we talked during the last few months of her life. She said, take care of each other. Love each other. When my dad would walk out of the room, she'd say, take care, Daddy, when I'm gone. And she said that because she knew she wasn't going to be around to do it. And that was the only thing she really cared about. She didn't care where her ashes went or any of that stuff. She just wanted us to love each other. I'm not going to be around, she was saying, so you have to do it for me. Jesus loves these disciples. As Julian knows, it's all about love. And this, I think, is what Jesus is doing in this lesson. He's saying goodbye, and he loves these people, and he wants them to live into that love. So he says to them, love each other. Please, love each other. This may get worse before it gets better, and I'm not going to be around to help you in the way that I was before, so love each other. And when you do, you will be doing my work. I will abide in you, because the thing that I most wanted of you and from you will be in you, and I'll be there too. There are a lot of ways that I used to love my mom that I don't have access to anymore, and that's hard. I don't like it a lot of days, but I can still love my mom. I do still love my mom, and I do it in loving the things and the people she loved and the dogs she loved. She loved dogs. And it's not always easy, because I want that other stuff back. But even though it's not always satisfying, it's real. There is still this way. Today is Mother's Day, and it's also Julian's day. But more than anything else, it is a baptismal day. And since this love is what Jesus asks us to do, since this really is what Christian life is all about, what it really amounts to in the end, then that's what baptism is about also. We have this tradition of wrong-headed thinking about baptism, I think. We think that baptism is a kind of blessing that spares people who are baptized from God's wrath and God's judgment. And I know what Julian would say about that. I know what she would say about the idea that anything we might do could make anyone, could make Eric and Alma and Daniel any more precious to God than they already are. That's not what baptism is. We're not making these ones lovable. No, baptism is about them, these who are baptized today, embracing the dying wish of Jesus to love this broken world. And it's about us embracing these people who are baptized as already and always beloved of God. It's about us doing what Jesus asked when he said goodbye. It's about us fulfilling his last wish. It's about us finding Jesus in our hearts and in one another as we do. Amen.
Please rise in body or in spirit and join in singing the hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, number 247 in your hymnal.
Please be seated. The candidates for holy baptism will now be presented.
I present Daniel Jaime Solis.
I present Alma Constance Mathilde Rossi Rousseau.
I present Eric Yi Ching Wen.
Eric, do you desire to be baptized?
I do.
And now to the parents of Daniel and Alma. Will you be responsible for seeing that these children you present are brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will, with God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help them to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Okay, now this is for everyone, including Eric. Do you renounce all sinful powers that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in God's grace and love?
I do.
Now, this question is for all of you here gathered in the congregation. Please answer with appropriate enthusiasm. Will all of you who here witness these vows do everything in your power to accept these persons who are being baptized into their lives in Christ?
We will.
Then let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant.
Do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth?
I believe in God, our creator.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who healed the sick, welcomed the outcast, and preached good news to the poor, who suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, died, and was buried, who descended to the dead and on the third day rose again? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting all that draws you from God's love, and whenever you fail, repent and make amends? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
Will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for those who are to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Please join me in praying for our baptismal candidates, responding with the words, "Lord, hear our prayer." Open their hearts, O God, to your grace and truth. Lord, hear our prayer. Fill them with your holy and life-giving spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Teach them to love others in the power of the Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Send them into the world in witness to your love. Lord, hear our prayer. Bring them into the fullness of your peace and glory. Lord, hear our prayer. And let us pray together the words that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated. Emmanuel, you want to come up? You stand right here, okay? I'll tell you when to touch it, okay? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We thank you, loving Creator, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Almighty God, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, and we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Emmanuel, can you help me bless the water now? Put your fingertips in the water, thanks. Just touch the water for me, thank you. Now sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Good job. Go back to your dad now. Okay. You ready, Daniel? There we go. I got you. Daniel, Jaime, Solis. I baptize you in the name of the Father. Yeah. And of the Son. Oh, yeah. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, good job. Good job. Yes. Did you see what just happened? You want to do a YouTube post? Can you give this to him? Alma. Alma, Constance, Mathilde, Rossi, Rousseau, I baptize you in the name of the Father. I know. And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, you did so good. You did such a good job. Yes, yes, you did a great job. Go back to Mom. There you go. Can you hold it? You can take this. Do we keep drying off? Sorry. No, you can hold that. You dry off. Okay. All right. Come on up. And put your head right over the bowl. Okay. Go forward. There you go. Eric Yi Qing Wang, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. Take that and try yours. And that's yours. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon these, your servants, the indelible mark of your abiding grace, and have renewed the communion of all your saints through the gift of these children, and Eric, and their baptisms. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them inquiring and discerning hearts, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Okay. Daniel, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen.
Amen.
Alma, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Eric, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized. Please rise and join in singing our concluding hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 226. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty be with you this day and always. Amen.